Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my absolute pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. I know I say that every week, but it is my absolute pleasure every week to be with you. This afternoon, between 1 and 2, we've got our legal hour along with the guys or the gals from down at Hutchison Legal. We probably can't take any questions today over the phone because Greg's unfortunately not here today. He's not well. And between 2 and 3, we've got Jennifer to come in and talk about Red Cross. Particularly, I know at the moment they're very, very short on blood, and I believe they will have a team out in this area in the next week or so. Could even be here, but we'll find out from Jennifer. But first of all, it's my absolute pleasure to introduce a lady we've had a number of times, and it's the CEO of Anchor, Heidi. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. Thanks again for inviting me, and good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Heidi, first of all, and I know we want to talk about something special that is on at the very moment, but I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, and you were up in Sydney at a homeless convention or whatever it might be, and I just want to sort of seal that off a bit if I can, just for the first few a couple of minutes. When you came away from there, did you get the feeling we're at the top of it, homelessness, and it's going to get better, or are we still climbing that hill?
Look, I think we have to say that we're still climbing that hill. The conference in Sydney was run by the Foyer Foundation, and it's really it was really particularly focusing on young people who become homeless, which actually really resonates and intersects with Anchor's purpose and, you know, the focus that we have at the moment. And that's certainly that young people who find themselves homeless, however that looks for them, is, you know, really quite catastrophic to them, obviously, themselves, to the community, and, you know, really to the future of Australia.
And their future too.
Absolutely, you know, them first and foremost. But, you know, Australia can't afford a future where all of the adults in our community are not contributing. We can't afford it. We actually, I'm sure people are well versed with the numbers that are coming straight at us with, you know, the ageing population.
Yep.
And we actually need every young person or every adult to be contributing their taxes, and frankly, looking after people like you and I in the future.
I'm glad you said in the future. Heidi, just one other quick thing that, and I know I try to stress this often with you, because there's still a conception out there in the marketplace, that a lot of these homeless just decide, oh, I don't want to listen to mum and dad's rules anymore, I'm out of the home. But that's only a very, 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 very small percentage, isn't it? But unfortunately, quite a lot of people still just believe that it's their own fault.
Yeah, look, I think you're right, but I think that the largest driver of young people fleeing their home is really family violence.
Yep.
And we know that once kids are of an age, which can be 12, 13, 14, they're living in a violent household or living in a household where there's mental health issues or AOD issues or all of the above. And they've had enough.
Could I just ask you, what's AOD,
please? Oh, sorry, alcohol and other drugs.
Right.
So, you know, these all go hand in hand, I guess, unfortunately, in distressed households. And young people, certainly all the young people we meet who are homeless, are there because they've fled from these disruptive families. It's not their fault. You know, it's not the family's fault. It's not the young person's fault, but it is the fact. And so, you know, these young people actually do want to take a different pathway. They don't want to stay in the home where things like that are going on. And as I say, they start voting with their feet, you know, as early as 12 and 13.
Terrible. Yeah. Now, the other thing too, and I know it's a subject we don't like to talk about, any of us do, but some of these young people are actually fleeing sexual violence against them in their own home, aren't they? And also
absolutely.
Violence.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be any sort of violence. No violence, sexual or physical or any other nature, is acceptable. And we shouldn't expect young people to have to endure that. I think that in some respects, Alan, you know, maybe from your days, you're just a little bit older than me, my days. I think you know, the community would have very much expected you to endure. And I think that's what we all did back then. We endured. Mm. Whereas young people these days, you know, I mean, there's lots on social media, lots in the media, it's everywhere, saying, you know, you don't actually have to put up with this. You don't need to stay with this. This is not your lot in life if you don't want it to be.
And we can't expect young people to put up with sexual or any sort of violence in the house just because, that's what it is. I mean, we can't and we should never expect them to do that.
No, that's right. That's right. Mm. But I think perhaps, you know, some of the people that maybe you're referring to are of older generations where we just put up and shut up, didn't we, really, in the home. But I think we know, I mean, people say to me, oh, you know, child abuse seems to have, you know, escalated. And I said, no, it was always there.
Yeah, it's now talked about.
Exactly.
All right, Heidi. Now, I'm glad we cleared off with that because I just wonder, I'm hoping one day when I'm talking to you, you're going to say to me, I've been to a conference, we've hit the top and we're on our way down.
Look, I think the sentiment in the room, and I don't want to be political, but the sentiment in the room is that, and I've heard this a few times, is that because Labor did win by such a big margin, there's an expectation that they probably will get two terms out of it.
Yep.
And I think the pleasure or the positivity in the room was about maybe we've got a 6-year runway. To maybe do shift the dial on some of these things, to actually get some houses built, to actually get some programs in and some houses and that for young people that are, you know, that don't exist now. So I think that was the positivity in the room, as I say, not wanting to be of either political persuasion, but you would hope with a 6-year runway we'll get somewhere.
All right, I took a quick break, and then we're going to get back and talk about what we really want to talk about today.
I don't believe it. Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. And we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills. But the thrill we never know. It's the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Yes.
Stone. Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
That's a very, very good idea.
I got a freaky old lady named a Cocaine Kitty who embroideries on my jeans. I got my poor old gray-haired daddy driving my limousine.
Now it's all designed to blow our minds, but our minds won't really be blown. Like the blow that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see our pictures on the cover?
We'll do anything we say.
We got a genuine Indian guru. He's teaching us a better way.
We got all the friends that money can buy, so we never have to be alone.
And we keep getting richer, but we can't get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
picture on the cover.
We ain't on the cover, baby.
Five copies for my fellas. Thanks to you.
I'm talking to Heidi, who's the CEO down at Anchor. Now, unfortunately, unfortunately, none of these things come cheaply. I know Anchor do a terrific job, but they still you still need to raise funds because these things cost money. So, I believe you've got a you're in the middle of your mid-year fundraiser. Is that right?
We certainly are, Alan. We're, as you say, raising money for you know what it costs us to deliver the services that we deliver.
Yep.
Each year we have this end of financial year campaign, and what we're very proud of is each year we're able to create a story for the community that really represents you know a group of clients that yep. or you know people that we support. And so this year is really the story of Ella. Ella was, you know, known to us for a number of years. She was in our foster care program for a time. She went to another agency, to the residential care, and then she came back to us at about 16 and a bit. And she stayed in our My Life program, which is our program for young people who are in statutory care. So their guardian is the minister.
Yep.
And she came and stayed with us and went through our program. Ella has an intellectual disability. Her mum had an intellectual disability. And unfortunately, mum was not able to protect her against quite a violent father. And so she actually was taken into care at a very young age. But the story of Ella, I guess, you know, brightens up a lot as she got older. And I'll have to say when she arrived, you know, and went through our My Life program. Ella learned how to keep a house. So she was in her own place, a little unit, one-bedroom unit. I visited her a few times and, you know, she was a bit of a scallywag when she was younger, that's for sure. But, you know, and I'd gone through those times with her. But she was terribly, terribly proud to show me her very, very tidy house. She had a cat and she, you know, loved the cat and loved the house and during that time she worked really hard to stay at school. She got her alternate year 12 qualification, which I can tell you when she was 10 or 11 when we first got to know her would seem like a miracle, but she was really, really committed to do that. She got that. And then she moved on from us at 18 and she secured some stable housing. She's doing really well. She's at TAFE doing, she loved to cook. She's doing a commercial cookery course.
Oh, true.
And she's doing very, very well. She's a great example of somebody who, you know, we supported to get through their education. You and I have often talked about education
yep.
and how education does change lives.
Yeah,
and it certainly changed Ella's life. And we were very committed to that.
Heidi, can I just ask you a question?
Yep.
If Anchor hadn't intervened, her life would have been what?
I suspect she would have gone into homelessness. I suspect it's possible she could have become pregnant very early. She was never a sort of a drugs and alcohol sort of a kid, but she certainly, you know, with her intellectual disability, did struggle a bit with depression. So, yeah, look, I think had she not come with us and achieved what she achieved and yep. felt like she felt on top of the world, and then when she left us at 18, she knows we're always there. In fact, a few months after she left, after she moved out, we went to her graduation from year 12 and she was terribly proud that we were, you know, that a couple of the her favourite staff were there. But I guess it bring you know really the gut that the what underlies this story, Alan, is that everyone has a special person in their lives. Everyone has someone who shapes their life.
Yep.
And the kids that we see often don't have anybody who is there to support them and they're behind them. Often they, you know, they have been Their family relationships are very severely disrupted, sometimes non-existent, but certainly disrupted. And they don't have that person. And the campaign, if people see it on social media, actually has a photo of my father. My father unfortunately died quite young. He was 65, but I feel that he was the person who shaped me. My dad was a real adventurer. He did some crazy things sometimes, and he took his daughter along with him.
I was going to say, and you've done some crazy things.
Yeah,
that you've
much
told.
To my mother's anguish at times. Yeah. But he taught me to be brave, taught me to be courageous, taught me that whatever boys could do, I could do.
Yep.
And he really did shape my life, and I'm forever grateful for that. And I guess
Ella didn't have that, did she? That's the point you're making.
No, she did not. And my little notes here say to me, Alan, to ask you, who was your special person?
I think my father too.
Yeah.
My mother was terrific too.
Yeah.
But in fairness, he's the one who probably showed me how to behave as a man rather than. Yep. Just a silly little kid, because we all did, and you said before, we all did some silly things. But, I mean, Dad was always there, and my father, I could talk to him about any subject I liked, and he wouldn't say to me, oh, you shouldn't talk about that, or you shouldn't have done that. He might have said, well, now, that was a bit of a silly thing to do, but let's talk through it. So, yeah, I think probably a lot. And you've just sidetracked me on a question I was going to ask you, because I was going to say to you, with Ella, you've just briefly touched on her own father. So if she'd have used the father as an example, she would have turned out a completely different lady, wouldn't she?
Look, she'd had a very caring father, absolutely, you know, who wasn't violent and abusive and so forth.
Oh, I thought he was.
Yeah, he was, absolutely. And that's why she was removed from the home, is because her mum, who was intellectually disabled, was unable to protect her. So
her life would have been a whole lot different if she'd have followed her father as him being the leading light.
Absolutely. And I think her relationship's incredibly disrupted. I think she has a bit of contact with her mum, because I think she does love her mum, and I think a mum loves her as much as a mum can. What really mattered to Ella was Anchor was there for her. We were there for her over a number of years. And as I say, through my life, she really learned how to keep a house, how to look after a pet. She had three little jobs going while she was doing her year 12. Yeah, she was working at Kentucky Fried and a couple of other places, squirreling away a good amount of money, which is, she's got a little bit behind her now, which is fantastic. She is a good story. But, I think it's really important for your listeners to understand how much effort that takes, how much time, how much repair work my Anchor staff need to do for these young people in order that they don't enter into homelessness. And I think certainly Anchor is now very committed to preventing youth homelessness. If someone like Ella had become homeless, I think her life trajectory would have been a very seriously, bad for her, actually.
I've got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Well, Carolina, you're breaking my heart.
Some of these songs that I'm playing today are the Greg Carrick's Oz Indie. So they're Australian songs that were released. Some of these are in about 2013, 2014. So we've just got a few newer songs. As I said, Greg can't be with you at 3 o'clock this afternoon. He's not well. But we'll have some great music going right through as we are here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, can I ask you to have a pen and bit of paper ready at about 5 to 1, because I know then Heidi will give you the contacts as to how you can give us some money. And, of course, I'm going to beat Heidi to it, because Heidi's going to say to you, it's the end of the financial year for companies. You've got about another month to in which to donate and claim it back. So, Heidi, tell us a bit more about how much you're hoping to do and what you're hoping it's for.
Look, any amount does really help us, and it allows us to do, you know, more things than perhaps what the, you know, just the government funding that we get. And I think for people like Ella, it really does allow us to have somebody special and somebody that's important for her on our staff and on deck with us. But I did also want to say that often people in the community feel a little bit hamstrung. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to help. And I often say to people, well, look, if you donate to Anchor, your money will be used to help others. So there's always a way that you can help, even if you can't do that absolutely directly. And I guess, you know, donations this year are absolutely about people like Ella finding their way, you know, in their later teens, past 18 and into adulthood, and not be homeless. That's what we're talking about today, is those pathways.
And I mean, I guess, apart, like, we've talked a bit about Ella, and it's a terrific story, but I guess for Ella, there's probably 100 other stories you could tell us about, and there's probably another 50 that you would have liked to have known about but may have missed out.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that we are a smaller agency compared to some of the big agencies. We absolutely punch above our weight. But, yes, there are always many more people that could, you know, have assistance that we aren't able to get to. And I think that's important. So, you know, we're very much talking about, you know, what can we all be doing around solving youth homelessness, or, and in fact, preventing youth homelessness? And in fact, you just had an advert for a specialist family violence service just before in the ad break. And certainly what that person was talking about was, you know, listening of people, you know, listen and believe a story.
Yep.
And, you know, when I think about a lot of the young people that we see that come to us and they say, look, I don't have anywhere to go tonight. I've been sleeping on the streets. you know, maybe when they were 12 or 13, they might have told their story to somebody about what was going on, but they didn't feel that anyone would listen. Perhaps no one would believe them. And that, you know, that, that really people didn't really care. And I think we've all got a role to play in listening to young people. That's absolutely for sure.
One of the other ones that I do play from time to time, which we've got about three on family violence, and I guess one of the things that comes through is not trying to tell people, as, you know, it's no good saying to someone, oh, yeah, I know how you feel, it'll get better, it'll... it's shut up and listen and let them take their time to tell the story, isn't it? Not trying to, oh, yeah, that's bad luck, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. It's really just a shut up and listen.
And, look, you know, I think you and I, Alan, have, you know, that thing in common that our fathers were really important to us. And, unfortunately, so many young people don't have good experiences with men.
Yep.
You know, many don't have very good experiences with women either, but, you know, particularly with men.
Yep.
And, you know, I think, we are privileged. We are incredibly privileged to have fathers that were able to meet our needs, showed us unconditional love, yes, told us off, as you say, you know, and said, no, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yep.
But, you know, that's what a trusted and supportive person can do, is to be able to say to somebody, look, you know, in my experience of all my life, that's not a great pathway to go down.
Yep.
These are some of the results. Maybe you don't realise that right now, even though you're just at the beginning of that pathway. You know, that so many people do not have those good male role models. I mean, you know, I think it's one of the biggest things when I was working in the justice system with young people, is that probably what drew all of those boys that I worked with together was having poor male role models. But I think, you know, you and I, Alan, we're the privileged ones.
Yep.
We're incredibly privileged. And I'm sure you've been a great dad too, because you learnt it from your dad.
And the other thing is too, that when we're saying about these great dads, if they don't have, and you've just touched on it then, if they don't have that experience with their fathers, and if they can't get it, if they don't get it at Anchor or somewhere else, they're going to turn out to be deadbeat fathers. Well, no, I won't say they will, but there's a good chance they could turn out to be deadbeat fathers too, can't they? Because that's the example they've been shown.
Yeah, and look, you know, there's no guarantees with any of these things, but I think, you know, it's tough for young men
yep.
who don't grow up with a good role model as a father or a male yep. role model. It is hard for them to know what to do, because the reality is relationships are very, very complex,
yep.
and then you add children to that, or other needy little individuals,
yep.
they're all needy, it's enough to tip anyone over the edge,
yeah.
let alone a bloke that's not had that calming influence of a father, and that father who, you know, said, okay, yeah, I know things are difficult at the moment, but we'll get through this. You know, those ones that have fathers that, you know, can't get through things and then maybe drink or gamble or whatever to try and deal with the stress of a situation, you know, they never see that example. And I guess that, you know, all of this leads us to some fairly frightening statistics, that there's 45,000 children in the Victorian care system. So there's 45,000 that have had to cease living with their families, with their birth families, for one reason or another.
Yep.
They may be with extended families, but certainly their actual birth parents. And there's 28,000 young Australians who experience homelessness every night. 28,000 every night.
See, I don't like talking to you about some of this, because some of those statistics are just horrific.
They're just frightening.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, I mean, you may live in, you know, your listeners may live in a suburb where they don't see much of this,
yep.
but then they may go to other places where, you know, there's a lot of this. I mean, I know that Cairns, for instance, has a huge youth homelessness population. Yeah, it does.
I know there is some areas up around Warburton where they sleep beside the creek and all that, I've been told.
Yeah. And look, you know, I think also too, people get these kids mixed up with maybe the people that they think are doing all these crimes and things out there.
Yeah.
They are not the same kids, I can tell you. They are not the same kids. The kids are in homelessness, trying to survive. And if they commit a crime, it's usually shop stealing for food.
Yep.
So they're not actually committing crimes. They're not the same cohort of young people. But I won't comment on the other because it's not my area of expertise. Yep. But, yeah, so I just I think people need to understand that the young people that we see in homelessness and in care, it's through no fault of their own, and they just end up there.
Mm. All right, I'm going to take another quick break, Heidi, and we'll be back with more.
Sometimes I go to work, I hope to get far. That's the kind of life I live. No time for worrying, no time for wishing. You do the work, I'll do the fishing. That's the kind of life I live. I got no ties, no family, no strings to keep me home. Leave all my cares behind me. I just hit the road and roam. Call me a waster, no good and such. Call me a wanderer, don't matter much. That's the kind of life I live. Well, I'll keep on going in the same old way. A good bit at night, three feeds a day. That's the kind of life I live. To get fired, that's the kind of life I live. No time for worrying, no time for wishing. You do the work, I'll do the fishing. That's the kind of life I live. Some people spend a lifetime saving every dollar and cent, but that won't happen in my time. Even get it, I've got it spent. Well, I tell you, friends, I'm on top of the world. Free as a bird, my wings are unfurled. That's the kind of life I live. Well, that's the kind of life I live. That's the kind of life I live.
And, of course, that was Lee Kernaghan, and that's the kind of life I live. Heidi, first of all, I've got to ask you, these, obviously, donations are all tax-deductible, aren't they?
They are. It's $2 and above are tax-deductible, absolutely.
Can't do better than that.
Can't do better than that.
Pardon me. Heidi, is there anything else you want to say before we give the people – I've probably got to take one more quick break, but anything before we start to tell the people how they can actually fund, give you some money?
Yeah.
Or not give you some money.
Not me personally, no. So, look, I guess what I wanted to just impart to your listeners is that, you know, really prevention is the cure here. Prevention is absolutely the cure. We do not want young people to become homeless. Whether they're in the care system and become homeless after they leave statutory care of the government, or whether they're homeless for other reasons, we don't want young people to be homeless. So, because it does it leaves a huge scar in their lives, and can take them many years. I've talked to a couple of young people who say really they were in homelessness for a decade. And, you know, that means we've lost a decade of their adulthood and their, you know, acting as community members. So I think we would all agree we want every single community member in our communities to contribute.
Heidi, I'm going to ask you, I shouldn't make a statement because I don't know. Yep. Homelessness, if you don't get these young people and get them off, it's probably going to cost us a lot more as a society in forget about the personal cost. Well, we shouldn't forget, because that's extremely important. But if you want to talk cold, hard dollars, it's probably going to cost us a lot more in homelessness, particularly in young people, because they're never going to put in any tax. And so it must cost us, if we want to be, well, it sounds terrible, but it's cheaper for us to also support these young people than long-term on the other, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the Foyer Foundation have done some pretty pretty rigorous research right. into this. So Youth Foyer Foundation and Foyers, we have one at Lilydale, and they are for homeless youth, and they're there for 2 years, and we have a program where they need to re-engage with education and training, etc. Now, the Foyer Foundation had an economist look at this. For every dollar that is spent in foyers, the government saves $6.
So apart from the human cost, which is really more important than the dollars, but let's be honest, it's going to cost society a lot more if we don't intervene.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, prevention, so picking people up before they fall off and they're down the bottom of the cliff, is just so much better for everyone.
Yep.
Because, you know, homelessness of youth and so forth is heartbreaking to all of us. You know, I don't think anyone's heart would be unbroken if they met young people who are homeless. So I think, you know, prevention is really the key. And I think our My Life program that we run certainly offers a pathway out of homelessness or to avoid homelessness for those kids in care. Our youth foyer and other homelessness programs we run are pathways out of homelessness. They turn around that trajectory within a good period of time, a good short period of time, pop out the other end, get jobs, contribute, you know, and lead a perfectly good life.
Fantastic. I've got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, have your paper and pencil ready, and Heidi's going to tell you how you can donate.
Oh,
Marty, I was just thinking during that break, I mean, I know that food and clothing and that is most important, but these nights, and I'm in a nice radio studio, which got a bit cold, so I got up and turned the heater on. Now it's probably 13 or 14 here. Imagine sleeping out anywhere when you're getting, and a couple of nights this week we get in -2 and -3. It must just be, apart from the fact that it can't do your body any good, it'd have to be soul destroying.
Absolutely. I mean, I think anyone that's you know, whether you're a young person or an adult that feels that that's, you know, has come to a point where that's the only place for you to be able to sleep is, yeah, I mean, it's not what we would want as Australians. It's not Australian.
It's not in a first world country.
No, it's not Australian.
All right.
I think, you know, yeah.
I don't want to cut you off, but we are starting to run out of time.
Yep.
So we need to get some details out as to how people can donate, please, Heidi.
Yep. So please, if you want to help us to prevent homelessness for young people, please go to www.anchor.org.au. It's very easy. There's a Donate Now button. And just press on that, and it'll take you straight to Ella's story, and you'll learn a little bit more about that.
Yep.
Any amount of money that you can support us with is very much appreciated. And I think that for people to close their eyes and think about what it was like when they turned 18, and then to think that we've got all these young people that I'm talking about that just are not in the same situation as what. You know, we were at 18 where we had everything to look forward to and we felt safe and we had everything to look forward to, our careers and adulthood, et cetera. So I just really invite people to think about that and to think about these young ones that don't have that.
Heidi, just let me ask you one quick question. At 18, how did you feel about the world?
I was excited about the world.
So was I.
I was excited. Yeah, I was excited. I had, good home life.
I just got my first car.
Yeah, that's
and my
right.
license.
Yeah, got a car, you know, like I had a boyfriend. I was at uni, you know. Yeah, life was, I was doing a lot of swimming and what, you know. And I just can't imagine what it would feel like to think, well, I've got no hope. There's nothing for me. I can't see far enough to know that I'm going to be okay. Right. And I think when your listeners think about that, and I'd love them to think about that and support Anchor to do the work that we do, because we're the ones who are there for these young people. We're their special people.
Now, again, website or how they can donate, please.
Yep, www.anchor.org.au. As I say, any amount is welcome. And the Donate Now button is really easy to use, and you'll go into Ella's story, and I would certainly invite you to have a look around at the rest of the website. There's some really interesting stuff on there about what Anchor does in the Yarra Ranges.
And I guess don't be embarrassed if you send $2 or $5. I mean, they all add up, don't they?
They certainly do. They absolutely do, Alan.
Heidi, unfortunately, we've just about run out of time.
Yeah, no, it's great to talk to you again.
Oh, great to talk to you again. I know we'll be talking to you before the year's out. So
we certainly will.
And one of these days, I hope you're going to be able to tell me we're really on the up way. Thanks very much, Heidi.
Keep you posted. Bye.
Bye.